We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What are you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic,
that was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier?
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Good morning and welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us and good morning, Randy. There's plenty to discuss today, I feel like.
What's happening, man? Yeah, dude. Well, I mean, after yesterday, when we're going to get off the air, and then this morning, I see the Steve Nash thing, and, man, no. I love this damn job when it's days like this, man. But what's happening with you, man?
I mean, the coffee's extra strong today. I will –
Yeah, man. I got me some –
I'll leave it at that.
I got me some tar water over here.
Yeah, me too. The super bro. Unleaded going today, which again, you know, it's all part of it. Sometimes you stay up all night, and that's okay. You gotta get it done, and we got it done over here. Got to let mom sleep a little bit too, and that's what's been going on. But yeah, man, there's so much to get into. It is hilarious how even on days like yesterday, when like 10 different things break, they do all wait till 2 o'clock to break. Like we couldn't get one thing from 10 to 2 yesterday.
We actually got one thing. We got the pity thing.
No, we didn't. Not the official.
Yeah, we did.
We got the rumor. We got
whatever,
the scraps
dude.
Of
I'm
it.
Taking. I'm we, taking damn credit for it. All right.
All right.
You do what you want to do. Randy broke the pity story. How about that? Since Andy don't want to. Andy don't want to come along.
Media member Randy McMichael breaks the pity Martinez story. I mean, that's you know.
Yeah,
no?
But yeah, I mean, it was all a crazy right. day, man, and it just came back to back to back, and you know, and it's like one departure, we're like, meh. The other one is like, wow. So I mean, but that's the fun thing about it. We got a lot, like you said, we got a lot to talk about. As always, we do appreciate everybody tuning in and everything like that. We do appreciate all the love that y'all do show me and Andy. But yeah, I mean, yesterday was especially up there in Athens, man. Just like, oh. Not mad.
Yeah.
I think that was my initial reaction when Jamie Newman decided to opt out was, oh, okay. Well, good luck, young man. Wish each other the best.
Yeah, that was a part of my reaction, and that's where we start. We'll get to the Pity Martinez news. We'll get to Adam Duvall and the Braves making baseball history last night and every other – I mean, there's 50 million other things going on. But we start with what happened yesterday in college football here in the state of Georgia and Jamie Newman opting out of the 2020 season with the Georgia Bulldogs. And you were the one that told me, Randy. We were kind of hanging out yesterday doing our own thing after the show is over, and you texted the group, and I said, what? And, of course, when you find out the reason why, or at least, you know, the reason that was given publicly why Jamie Newman isn't going to play for Georgia next year, that it's amid COVID concerns, the only real thing you can say as a professional is, well, good luck. You have to respect his decision, and good luck. Now, as people who get paid to talk about it and analyze it, obviously there's a lot of other thoughts that enter your mind and there's a lot of unanswered questions. My main question is just why now? Like, if and again, I'm not gonna sit and speculate and say Jamie Newman didn't want to compete or he had lost the job or whatever. But why September 2nd, 2.5 weeks ahead of the season starting? Like, what has happened over the last week or however long to make you feel more strongly about the dangers of COVID? And I'm not saying that that didn't happen. Potentially something did happen over the last couple of weeks to make him feel that way. It's just such unusual timing to take it all the way up until now, given everything that's happened between when he got to Georgia and now. I mean, the pandemic's been going on for a long time, Randy. I think pretty much anybody who's lived in this country can tell you that. I wonder why yesterday. I wonder why, so close to the season.
The thing, and we'll have our guy Roddy DeMalls on in 12 o'clock, 12:20, I think today. Yeah,
12:20. Yep.
And we got my man, and we got the best, the greatest, Brad Nessler on at 11:20. I can't wait to talk to Brad. It's been a while, but I'm not going to put it on why now, because why did, and I'm not trying to put him in the same draft category as Ja'Marr Chase. Why did Ja'Marr Chase? Why now? You know, why didn't you do it when this whole thing started, when you saw other guys going out? So I'll never ever question a man's judgment or a man's decision that I don't know. I don't know why he did it. I mean, but as soon as, you know, we find out, then there's the, well, I heard guys, you know, you're like, man, shut the hell up. You ain't hear nothing. All right. Yeah, okay. Just shut the hell up. All right. You on a dog blog with 32 followers. Just shut up. But with that being said, I mean, you can go with it any way you want to. Did he lose the competition? I know last time I was up there before, before COVID and all this shutdown happened, you know, the thing that the coaches, everybody was telling me, hey, man, this dude, he took the locker room. These guys respect him. He is, you know, the leader. He's going to be one of the leaders on this team. And from reading and talking to people that we know that are close to the program, he seems like he's the starting quarterback. And so he didn't want to compete, or he didn't get the job or stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not going to even say that's what it was, because I don't know. I wasn't up there this summer for camp and all that stuff. So I didn't see that. I like going by what the people who are close to the program tell us. And they were saying that he was in line to start for Georgia when they go to Arkansas. Obviously, that's not going to be the case. So now you're looking at a situation where when Kirby and everybody was scratching their head about him going to get JT Daniels when you got a Jamie Newman, maybe Kirby knew something we didn't know. Maybe he did talk to Kirby that this might be an option, because it just didn't happen yesterday. Say he was mulling the decision earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you do have this JT Daniels kid who is very talented, but who has not been medically cleared to play. Now, knowing that we have, what's today's date? We got 23 days before the first game. It's a possibility that he probably will be ready for, action or whatever you want to call it.
I think it's a little bit better than a possibility.
Yeah.
JT Daniels will be medically cleared to play football by September 26th.
Yeah. And then there's this young man, this Mathis, young DeJuan Mathis. I mean, from everything you read, he looks like the real deal. I went back last night, Andy, and I watched, because I watched him last year. Well, I watched his high school highlight last year, from his last year in high school, and I was like, he has some talent, man. And you remember he was an Ohio State commit, decided to decommit, come to Georgia. I guess probably when Justin Fields went there. But I mean, the young man has talent. So I don't know how they're going to do this. I know that, you know, last week when we thought about, you know, talking about the quarterback competition in Georgia, it was, well, they're not going to play two quarterbacks. Is it a possibility that they might, and especially in the first game, to figure out between DeJuan and JT Daniels? I don't know how it goes, but I just wish the young man good luck. I'm not mad at him. He didn't break my heart. And I'm just curious, when he's drafted, does he say from the University of Georgia or the University of Wake Forest?
I don't know. I mean, he does have a scholarship at the University of Georgia right now. I mean, he's a graduate transfer, right? So his graduate studies started a couple of weeks ago, and he's probably, you know, he might have a first quiz coming up. In whatever it is that he's studying in graduate school. But yeah, that's the weird part about it, is he is a student at the University of Georgia now, and the scholarship remains, and he can use the athletic facilities if he wants to. And obviously, Kirby Smart said what he said yesterday, partially probably because it's true and it's how he feels, but also because it's the only thing you can say in a situation where a player on your team opts to not play because of the coronavirus. He said, yeah, he's good standing. He's a Georgia Bulldog to me. He's on campus. You know, it's all good. I respect his decision. But it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild to go all the way this far with a guy who's presumed to be the starting quarterback of a team, by the way, that, you know, we're not just talking about anybody. We're talking about a team that a lot of media is picking to win the SEC. A lot of media with Jamie Newman at quarterback. Was picking to be in the college football playoff. And the funniest thing to me about it all is, and I know every fan base is like this, okay? So don't take this personally, Georgia fans, because every fan base is like this. A lot of people didn't know who Jamie Newman was, what, 6 months ago?
No.
8 months ago?
No.
And then Jamie Newman very quickly became, like, one of the most underrated quarterbacks that we've ever seen in college football, when, you know, when he transferred to Georgia. And then yesterday, Jamie Newman very quickly became, well, he was just a Wake Forest transfer. Like,
Oh, come on. You know that's, you know how it is.
The opinions of the ability and what Jamie Newman may or may not do for the Georgia football team.
It hurt.
They flopped like some pancakes yesterday, man. That was pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, your butt hurt, man. And it's fine.
I understand because of the expectations, man.
Yeah, because of the expectations of being a Georgia fan. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not hurt by it. I was just like, wow. But back to your point of why now. I mean, who knows why now? I mean, you look at earlier this week, 10 players from Central Florida opted out.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, I don't want to put a date or determining factor of when a player opts out. You opt out when you feel like it, because you have that option to do that. So, and I'll always respect anybody that when you have the option to actually do it and you do it, I can't do nothing but respect it. I can't question it, because who am I to question it? Because if that's your decision, you don't have to look out for me. You don't have to look out for the person that's in your mentions cursing you and all that stuff. You gotta look out for your family and yourself. And
yeah.
So that's why I'll just respect it and say, wow.
Respect
all
it.
Right, well, let's go.
Whatever. But I you know, of course I respect it. Yeah. I mean, do what you want to do, do what you think is best for you, do what you think is safest for you and your family and all that. But I'm still gonna scratch my head and wonder.
Of course you're going to wonder.
And to answer the question that you posed and others have posed about maybe what the difference is between him and other guys that have opted out, and I know you mentioned some Central Florida players. Not every player who has opted out is a presumed first or second round draft pick.
Correct.
But the guys we've talked about this week from LSU are. I mean, Jamar Chase is going to get drafted in the top 15 no matter what happens.
Easily.
Jamie Newman isn't.
That's why I said I'm not going to put the draft status part of it on it, because Jamar Chase is a bona fide top 10 pick. The D tackle that came out, he's a first rounder. He's not a top 10 pick, but he's a first rounder. When you looked at coming into the season and when you're reading up on these draft boards, they thought Jamie Newman could be a first round quarterback with his Georgia tape. If he got better off his Georgia tape, not his Wake Forest tape. So now that he's not going to play at Georgia, what does that put him in? Obviously. It doesn't concern him, because he's like, so, okay, I might go third or fourth round. Okay, I'll take that. That's why I can't sit up here and be like, damn, I can't believe you did that. Well, you decided to take your own path, and decided, okay, if I go to Georgia and I play well at Georgia, there's a possibility, because first of all, I'm gonna be televised, I'm gonna be national TV and all these things, and if I play well, that can boost my draft status. Well, obviously he's not gonna do that. Obviously he knows that. I hope he knows that. And now he's gonna go back to, okay, I might be a third, fourth rounder.
Yeah. Or and I don't know how realistic this is, but if all the talent evaluators believe what they said about Jamie Newman when he transferred to Georgia, did simply transferring to Georgia and getting his name on a bigger platform already help him out? I mean, obviously he's going to have to work out for teams and prove that he can play. But there's a lot more people that had a lot more nice things to say about Jamie Newman simply because he transferred to Georgia than if he would have stayed at Wake Forest and gone into the NFL draft. Maybe he accomplished some of that attention that he hoped to accomplish simply by transferring even without playing. I don't know. At some point, Jamie Newman will probably talk to a reporter and give a little bit more insight into this, but maybe not. We'll come back and get into what's trending, including what Atlanta United's manager, Stephen Glass, was talking about last night.
Everybody takes part in it so they could see it, but there's a feeling that when you're playing and you know and...
Yeah, we'll try to figure that one out. They were bad last night. Pitty Martinez is gone, too. What's trending coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. With over 200 fully stocked trucks ready to help, Reliable Heating and Air offers next day installation, or we pay a $500 installation guarantee. Call for details.
As another high fly ball wallop towards center, Bradley goes to the wall. It's gone. Duvall has a three-run night. Another home run for Duvall. Two-run homers, now a solo shot, and Marcell Ozuna saying, anything you can do, I can do better. Wow! 7-5.
First time in Major League Baseball history that that's ever happened, Randy, that a team has had teammates on back-to-back days have three home run games, and I don't think anybody wants to leave Boston. I think those guys would stay and play the Red Sox for the remainder of the season, because boy, do they suck. I mean, that is just a bad baseball team they got over there in Boston, which is fun to see, because, I mean, who likes the Red Sox? But the Braves win again last night. They sweep the series. Adam Duvall takes his turn at three home runs, and the Braves are 22-14. Robbie Erlin starts. It doesn't matter who starts for the Braves right now with the way that the offense is going and the way that these power hitters are hitting. Day off today. They got Washington twice tomorrow, and then back to Fried and Anderson over the weekend. So, you know, as crazy as this week has been with the trade deadline and inaction, and the Braves continue to roll along and play really good baseball.
Oh yeah, man! It was fun to watch last night. I mean, it's crazy that it seems like every week we're talking about Adam Duvall. Everybody knows his story, man, and you can't root for a guy like that. I mean, and for him to do what he's doing, man, three home runs. I mean, that is just phenomenal. And every time it's that second one, I mean, he just muscled that one out of the park. And then of course, Ozuna got him one yesterday. Very encouraging news about Ronald Acuna possibility of playing tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I mean, this team is just finds ways to win. When their offense is clicking the way their offense is clicking, I mean, it's hard to beat them. No matter. Okay, first of all, who the hell is Robbie Early? That's what I want to know. Because I mean, where did he come from, Andy?
I think he was a member of the Detroit Tigers earlier.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like you know, like he that play cousin. Like he ain't your cousin, but you calling each other cousins sometimes when y'all around. Like, yes, okay. This is my cousin.
Pittsburgh. He was a Pittsburgh pirate.
He's annoying as hell, man. He was annoying last night, man. He really was. Got on my damn nerves. But that's all they got. So Robbie gonna go again. Robbie gonna go again next week. We know that. So
sure
I just can't, huh?
Sure he is. You're darn right.
Yeah, he's
he
gonna
is.
Go next week. So Robbie, I'm gonna take the play cousin off you, and I'm just gonna call you cousin. Maybe that might make you pitch better. But I mean, just what? All I know is that my man Eminem, Mark Melanson, in that ninth inning, dog. You talking about that? I think he scares the batters when he be up there fidgeting and everything like that. Because, dude, he was unreal last night, you know, closing out that game. But back to, you know, Duvall. I mean, just the way that this offense is clicking and they're going and everything. Even when some things don't go right. I mean, Freddie had a nice hit last night. You know, yeah, Cakes was 0-for-5, and I guess everybody had to bring – well, not everybody. Certain people had to bring him. Oh, he's 0-for-5. It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Certain people. I mean,
just because we're excited for it, just because we like Cakes don't mean – nobody ever said he was an MVP damn candidate. But, you know, that's just how I feel about that certain thing. But,
yeah,
another win, Andy. Like you said, if they can play the Red Sox, I mean, every day – I mean, why not? I mean, they are a very bad baseball team. We understand that they're trying to rebuild. You just trade away your best player, and who is looking like the best player on the damn Dodgers right now, which is unbelievable. But, yep, another win. We'll take it. Get a day of rest. Get Acuna back and get ready for the Nationals.
Yeah, and the Nationals, by the way, aren't very good either. They're 12-22. So you can go into Washington, hopefully, this weekend with a doubleheader tomorrow, and then – two games. Actually, it's at home. My bad. You've got Washington coming to Atlanta with a doubleheader tomorrow, and then games on Saturday and Sunday. Sweep them too. Sweep the Nationals too. Put the NL East so far out of reach that we can start worrying about just getting guys healthy and getting this offense the way that you want it. And then who knows? Maybe get Folty back up here for a couple starts in September or Newcomb. I mean, we know it's going to happen. Let's just get to the point where it's more comfortable. Let's get 10 games over 500, and then you know. Bring Folty up. Yeah. Just a little bit more cushioned for Folty to land on or Newcomb or whoever. Yeah.
Y'all can't even blow this. Y'all can't even mess this up. So yeah, we'll bring y'all
back. Folty. All right, so Atlanta United played last night. Thank goodness there was a bigger Atlanta United story, so we don't have to talk about the game. Here's Steven Glass talking about they didn't lose, but boy did
they lose.
You want to talk about a boring soccer game, which is the last thing they want to be. That is what we were promised they would not be. Not only are they bad, but they're also boring. It's unbelievable what Atlanta United has become in such a short period of time. And I trust him to fix it and all that. But the story yesterday was Pitty Martinez leaving. Here's Steven Glass.
Yeah, it did interfere with the match prep. I'm not using it as an excuse. It's obviously a direct answer to your question. So all the prep work was done. We left the training ground yesterday. We were aware in the background that things were going on, or I was, but we did all the prep work thinking that he was going to take part tonight. I was aware of it more likely to happen last night, and then so I waited for the confirmation today that it looks like it's really going through, so he wasn't going to be able to be playing. So it does affect your prep when you think there's a player playing and you've done all the corners, free kicks, and all your build-up play and attacking work that we worked on as well. So everybody takes part in it so they could see it, but there's a feeling that when you're playing and you know, and now we've set a lineup and someone doesn't take part in that, it does affect you. But I think we still had enough on the pitch to probably do a little bit better individually in the final third.
Yeah, look, I mean, coaches don't make excuses, but then sometimes they say, I'm not going to make an excuse, and then spend 30 seconds giving you an excuse. It's a legitimate excuse. I mean, they planned for that game with Pitty Martinez in mind, playing against a team in Inter Miami that you know is going to foul you a whole bunch of times, and you're going to get a whole bunch of set pieces. Pitty Martinez is one of the guys that you count on in those spots. He's gone now. Pitty Martinez, barring a failed physical or something like that, is headed to Saudi Arabia for $18 million. Atlanta United will have made money on the deal, which to me, like, it depends on how you want to look at it, right? Like, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. One of the ways to look at it is Pitty Martinez was brought here on a transfer fee, didn't live up to the hype really at all, and still was able to get paid more money to go someplace else. So even if you don't play great, you can come to Atlanta United and make more money for yourself. If you do play great, you can end up at a team like Newcastle in the English Premier League or wherever Barco ends up eventually, and you can go on that way. Like, Atlanta United still stands as a springboard to other platforms. Now, Saudi Arabia and their soccer league is not bigger or better than MLS, but the paycheck's going to be nice for Pitty.
Yeah.
The question is, what does Atlanta United do now? Like, we're talking about a team that is without, I don't even know how many people, manager included, that we expected to be major factors in this season.
I don't know, Andy, but here's the thing. You know, there's an open spot. They have an open spot right now. So, and the thing I know about Darren Eales is this: he's always going to stay aggressive. So if there's somebody out there and he's not afraid to spend, him and Arthur Blank and Carlos, they're not afraid to spend that money. So I'm going to go on a limb and say that they're going to land a big fish. They're going to go for a big fish. You know, I'm not talking about Messi or nobody like that. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that. But I look at Pitty as a failed, I don't want to say experiment. To me, it just seemed like he was never comfortable here. You know, and I mean, and that could be so many things. We're coming from another country to a new, it just seems like he was never a fit. I mean,
yeah,
I'm not saying he didn't play hard and stuff like that. It just didn't work out. I think a lot of people with the expectation that he came in automatically assumed that he was going to be replacing Mickey. And that wasn't the case. There's two completely different players, but nobody saw it. I see the 10 on the back. Okay, he got the 10 on his back, so he's going to be like Miguel Amaral. No, he was not. And so I think a lot of that pressure probably got to him or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, I wish Pitty nothing but the best. I'm not crying over spilled milk that he's not here. It does suck because even though we're saying this, he was still one of the better players on the squad. And so, you know, good luck to Pitty. We'll take that check, and let's go find somebody else. I mean, that's where you are right now.
Yeah, you made money on it, which is good. It was a failed attempt. And again, that's not a dragging Darren Eales or anybody through the mud. It just didn't work out. Like, it wasn't as good as you thought it was going to be. And it's good that you can still make money on that. The frustrating thing about Pitty is you didn't know what you were going to get from him. You might get that two-goal performance that you got against Nashville a couple weeks ago, and it was brilliant. And, oh, God, Pitty looks like the guy we expected him to be. And then he comes back against Orlando and is just kind of inconsistent and invisible for a lot of the game. Like, that's the frustration for me with him. I'm not questioning his talent. You can watch him play for 5 minutes and know that he's a talented player. It just never fit. Now, the interesting thing to me, or one of the interesting things to me, is even when Pitty was here, he wasn't scared to voice his opinion on things. You remember the interview he gave in Argentina last year where he talked about kind of the difference of philosophies with Frank de Boer and all that. I'm interested for somebody, Argentina or wherever, to get a microphone in front of Pitty, and now that he's leaving, see what he has to say about his time here, because I just, based on the little bit that I know about Pitty Martinez, I do not expect him to hold back in that situation.
Oh no, he gonna say some slick stuff, Andy. Oh, it's gonna be real slick that everybody's gonna be. You think they're gonna be burning Pitty jerseys out there on Northside Drive? He gonna say something slick. He just got that person. He got that face too. That you know,
and like he talked about his face last week.
Yeah, he the type of cat. Like I said, he the type of cat that mooses up his hair before he go out on the field. Like, man, we got a game to play. Yeah. Like, that's other,
He's a pretty boy face.
Yeah, pretty boy. Pretty boy, man. You know, yeah, you know he was over on Buford racket, over on Buford picking him up. He handsome. He handsome. And sometimes he played handsome. I like Barco. Barco played like his face. Just ugly.
I think Barco plays pretty too, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
But yeah, Barco got that mean face though, man. He got that,
He got a shovel face.
All ugly award.
I would love it if Barco would stop falling down so much though. And I know he gets fouled. I know it. I know guys are kicking him and knocking him over and all that stuff. But damn, they can take him out of the game just by roughing him up. Like, get some heavier legs or something like that. I don't know.
He run on his damn tippy toes, man. You know, I don't like, you know, that. I need me a full bottom foot run, man. You know what I'm saying? He run on his tippy toes, man. That, you know, yeah.
Maybe you could go up there and teach him how to run. Let's quickly hear from Todd Monken, Georgia's offensive coordinator, who spoke last week about his quarterback competition.
The one thing I would say about Jamie is that he is a better thrower. Everybody talked about his athleticism, but he's a better thrower than people think, and I think JT's a better athlete. So, you know, obviously there's film on both of those guys. Obviously, JT is a young player at USC throwing the football, and there's film of Jamie obviously running Wake Forest's offense very efficiently. And like I said, I think from the first 5 days, I think JT's a better athlete than we would have thought, and Jamie's a much better thrower.
Yeah, and again, that was him answering the question about the quarterback competition where he gave both guys equal love. That didn't sound like an offensive coordinator who had any inclination that Jamie Newman might leave, though. So, you know, it looks like it very much took that program by surprise. But it's a good thing he has all that nice stuff to say about JT Daniels as well, because JT Daniels is probably going to be the starting quarterback in 23 days from now.
It is a definite possibility, homie.
Remember when I asked you last week, I was going to ask you this 20 times before the season opener? Who the Georgia starter is going to be, Jamie Newman or JT Daniels? I guess the question got a little easier than it was last week. You answered JT or Jamie Newman last week. I did too.
Yeah, not anymore. Who's going to be the starting quarterback? I don't know.
JT Daniels. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to a big deal, small deal, no deal. Tons of NBA news from last night. There's a new NBA head coach with a big-time name you've definitely heard of. We'll get to a lot of the NFL news at 11 o'clock as well, so don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's a Hall of Fame beat, Randy.
Yes, it is.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy, hanging out on a Thursday, Trillville Thursday. Shout out to Oren Romaine, by the way. Producer of the morning show who tested positive for COVID. He's at home recovering right now. He's listening and said he's happy that Trillville Thursday lives on, even though he's not in the studio.
Oh yeah, man, this is bigger than us, man. This is a thing that I got on remaining, and I'm glad he's doing better.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is Trillville Thursday don't go away because you're gone. I mean, because I'm gone unless you can't do it. Like I'm gone. Y'all want to do my 1 o'clock woo? It don't sound right when y'all do it. You know what I mean?
Right, it doesn't.
You know, it don't. You know, it just is what that's mine. It's kind of a certain thing like that. But, yeah. You know, the Trueville is all ours. All ours.
It's everybody's.
Yes.
It's a part of the community.
All right, ours.
We're 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Today is the final scrimmage for the Atlanta Falcons before cuts on Saturday. Also, some interesting other cuts in the NFL, most notably Mohamed Sanu. Didn't work out with the Patriots, man. I mean, you want to talk about an absolute flop of a trade from a New England perspective. They traded a second-round draft pick for Mohamed Sanu for, I think, 200 yards receiving and then cut him the next year. So now he's available, and the question becomes, do the Atlanta Falcons maybe think about bringing him back in? I know the San Francisco 49ers are also on the short list of teams, naturally, with Kyle Shanahan being there. So we'll get to that. We'll get to the Leonard Fournette signing and subsequent hype from the national media over the last few hours as well, as he's now in Tampa. All of that in the NFL no huddle. Before we get there, though, let's get to a big deal, small deal, no deal with Brian.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee high malt whiskey. Hello, Brian.
What up, B?
What's going on, guys? Good morning. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
the irony last night of the way James Harden played on offense, just completely lackluster. I believe he finished 4-for-17, I think. Just really terrible shooting performance. Wasn't attacking the hoop in the second half or trying to get to the line. But he did end the game with this play, ironically making a defensive stop.
Westbrook with a deflection, poked it right back to Gilgeous Alexander. He finds Dort, shoots for three, blocked by Harden. Dort picks it back up, tried to throw it back off of James, and it went out of bounds with 0.5 seconds to go.
That was such a big deal, Brian, because he played like crap.
Yeah,
he did. For him to make that play and make a defensive play when everybody talks about how bad of a defender he is, I mean, it was just a great play by him. And then also alert enough to jump out of the way when the guy was trying to throw the ball off of him. It's a big deal. Because, I mean, it was going to be that narrative, and it kind of still is, about him choking in game sevens and everything. But, I mean, good for James, man, for making that play.
You don't need me to tell you James Harden didn't play well. He said as much last night.
Offensively, I played like excuse my language, but I couldn't make a shot.
Yeah.
He's right.
At times, he wasn't even attempting shots, which is the weirdest part of all of it, because James Harden can get a shot whenever he wants. Just get him the ball on the perimeter. I mean, he's either going to get a look that he can make or he's going to get fouled. Like, that's been his entire game. And he's amazing at it. Like, he's an unbelievable offensive player in isolation on the perimeter. And yet, in the fourth quarter over the last couple of games, he didn't even seem to want to try it. So, yeah, it's highly ironic that James Harden ends that series with a defensive play. The crazy thing is, like, that kind of seemed like it should have ended the game. But then there was, like, 15 more minutes of reviews, and did Chris Paul call a timeout, and Chris Paul got fouled, and then they shoot a free throw, and then they end up running two inbounds plays, both of which were terrible, and Steven Adams is the guy who gets the ball at the three-point line, and ultimately they don't get a shot off. So that game ended ugly. The game earlier in the night between the Heat and the Bucks ended ugly with some bad officiating. The game seven the night before ended ugly with missed layups. And as much fun as game sevens are, and we love them, like the finishes have been entertaining, but it hasn't been because of like
it hasn't been great, but like you said, entertaining. I'll take entertaining.
Yeah, I'll take entertaining as well.
Miraculously, the ratings coming back up too.
The ratings?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I thought everyone was going to stop watching the NBA.
Yeah, but that's not us to point out, Andy.
Oh, it's not. That's true.
Yeah.
I like the NBA.
I think the way that the Thunder Rockets game ended, it did take a long time, but I think the refs ultimately got it right.
I think so too.
Whereas in the first game, I don't think they got it right on multiple occasions. That was really frustrating to see that. The other big news out of the NBA, big deal, small deal, no deal, earlier this morning, Steve Nash officially signing as the new head coach with the Brooklyn Nets, a 4-year deal there. Big deal, small deal, no deal.
Oh, that's a big deal, man. And I know, whenever, especially NBA, whenever there's a new coach coming in, the superstars have to sign off. So KD and Kyrie definitely gave their okay. But the one thing is, like, you don't have to worry about KD, because him and KD, they had a documentary or whatever following KD around. Him and Steve Nash are close. They're really close. And so I'm not worried about KD. It's Kyrie, and the ever so flipping personalities of Kyrie, of how this is going to work. But, I thought that they might stay in-house. I think they might stay in-house, but they are going to keep Jacque Vaughn as the lead assistant, and he's going to be probably the highest-paid assistant in the NBA. But I don't know anybody that says a bad thing about Steve Nash other than that should have been Shaq's other MVP. But, you know, I think it's a big deal when you look at the consideration of when they get KD and Kyrie with all those guys that are still there. Man, Brooklyn going to be a damn problem.
Sorry, I jumped in. I got excited. Was flippant the word of the day today, or just flippant just in the vocab?
Well, I said flipping, but flipping.
Oh,
but
flipping.
I mean, if it came out that way, because unlike you, I'm not a Beatle person, Andy. I'm not one of those people that are a ceremonious officer of words.
Beatle.
Yes.
Oh, there it is. That's the word of the day.
There we go. There's the word of the day.
I was confused, too.
I was like, what the hell is he talking? Oh, there it is. That's the word of the day. Nicely done.
Beadle. It's B-E-A-D-L-E.
Like Michelle
Beadle. It means a ceremonial officer of a church, college, or similar institution, a minor parish officer dealing with petty offenders. So I could be a Beadle down in New Orleans in one of the parishes.
Okay. And just for anybody who might not know what we're talking about, Randy gets an email every day with the word of the day, and he's just trying to work it in with it without anybody noticing. And I got tricked. So nice work. You got me today.
Thank you.
We'll try again tomorrow. As for Steve Nash, it is a big deal. It's also interesting whenever something like this happens and you have a first-time head coach, doesn't have any coaching experience, hasn't even been an assistant for all I know. I know he was a player development or other in Golden State at one point, but he's never sat on a bench and called plays. People bring up the names of guys that may have been looked over. Mark Jackson is the one that's most commonly
mentioned. I love Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson, I don't think he's going to coach again.
Now, do you think that's because Mark Jackson doesn't want to coach again?
No.
Or?
No. I think something in Golden State, just whatever happened in Golden State, and there's so many speculations behind what happened, I think that's just going to affect him getting the job, man.
Okay.
It sucks, but it is what it is.
Because, I mean, I would feel like Mark Jackson deserves at least another chance to prove himself.
Exactly.
Like, they were
exactly.
good when he was there and then immediately turned into a dynasty. I don't know. I don't know that that's entirely – it's very simple to just say that Mark Jackson held them back from becoming a dynasty.
Yeah,
they were good when he was there. At the very least, he would be a better coach than a lot of guys that continue to get jobs in the NBA. And I don't know if Mark Jackson can lead a team to an NBA championship or not, but it feels like he should get another opportunity to try.
I agree with you, brother. I agree. Him, Ty Lue. I mean, there's so many – but, you know, it is what it is.
And now Steve Nash has a head coaching job in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
That's fun. I love it.
Brooklyn going to be a problem, man.
Yeah, they're going to be good, man. They're going to be fun.
Yeah, man.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL No Huddle. Final scrimmage for the Falcons today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Brad Nessler going to join us at 11:20. The voice of the SEC on CBS. Can't wait for that conversation. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.